Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to another fine and fantastic edition of Plank of the Week. We have the plank here and we have the panel over here, Kevin O'Sullivan and Dawn Neeson. Now, for those of you who have told us, and I don't mind admitting that some of you have, that we should be doing better social distancing. We don't need to, right? Here's why. Because we've got partitions in between us, so yeah. We don't actually have to be that far away. So we are entirely COVID secure here at News UK.
And also, could you all stop being quite so sanctimonious?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Yes,
that
is very well said. Now,
we've
got a whole load of planks to go at today. I mean, it could be said, as I put out earlier, and I know you're going to go first with yours, and you might as well get it out of the way. It could be said that after Dawn speaks, there will be no further point in making the rest of the show. But I don't believe that, because
that
want to give... It's not that bad. But what I do want to say is that regardless of who you think should win it, and I think it's going to be pretty unanimous, there are still lots of other people that deserve a place in the top 10. So, Dawn, I'm going to ask you to kick it off with everybody's plank of the week.
Thank you. You've been very gentlemanly by letting me do this one. And I am going to nominate...
Wait for it.
Ready, drum roll, Harry and Meghan.
Why?
Okay, there you go.
I know,
there you go.
I know.
It's yours.
Right, thank you. Right, fine. Okay, I declare this competition over.
Being in the news or something?
No, because they are so publicity shy and privacy obsessed. And, you know, perish the thought that I actually ever put themselves on a front page anywhere.
Mm.
Any case...
2 days in a row, the Daily Star have absolutely done them up like a kipper.
I know, done them up like a kipper. Any case, the world's most publicity shy couple who reside in a £1 million mansion in California.
A million? I think it's more like 15
several
million,
million
isn't it?
Several million, squillions of pounds mansion. They declared that they are expecting another baby.
Yes.
Now, they didn't do this
Many
with...
Many congratulations.
Congratulations, yeah. They didn't do this with a simple statement like, you know, they could have done if they really, really wanted to avoid publicity.
Yeah.
They posed for probably one of the most nauseating pictures I've ever seen in my entire life, Mono. Posed under a tree, which is meant to represent the tree of life.
Is that the tree in one of their back gardens?
It's one of their back gardens in the sprawling gardens they have.
The 16-bathroomed mansion.
Yeah. And it was straight out of... The scene was straight out of Notting Hill.
Well, you know, it was like more like Middle Earth, Harry's feet. The headline should have been Get the Hobbit Habit. What's wrong with his feet?
Or Harry the Hobbit.
Yeah. Come on, boys. We're being romantic here. Any case, we're going with Notting Hill. Hugh Grant, Julia Roberts was it? And the final scene in that is where a pushy American actress, typecasting, and a dopey Londoner are having a baby together, and she is lying on his lap, head resting in his lap, cradling a baby bum, and they're gazing adoringly at one another. And this they issued on Valentine's Day, exactly 37 years, is it, after Princess Diana?
Something like that. Which is kind of creepy in itself, isn't it?
It's a bit creepy. After Princess Diana announced that she was expecting Prince Harry, and this has gone global. It's on every page one. It's on every TV channel. It's been talked about everywhere because you can't avoid it, basically. I really want to not talk about the but. The sheer stinking hypocrisy is unbelievable.
But then, to be fair, they've now sought their privacy in the arms of Oprah Winfrey,
exactly,
to whom they will be giving a vast interview.
Well, that's the second part of the plankish behaviour, isn't it?
This is the second part of the thing, isn't it?
But how about this, right? Buckingham Palace put out an 18-word statement thanking or wishing them well, right? But it didn't mention William and Kate. Mm. It didn't mention Camilla, right? In stark contrast to the 95-word statement that they put out when she was pregnant for the first time in October 2018. So you can tell that there's an awful lot of miffery going on at the palace.
They're not happy. They're not going to be happy.
How about a two-word statement? The second one was off.
Yeah, and they I don't think there's any coming back from this. As you said, they've doubled down on the hideous baby announcement picture.
Also, where was Archie, by the way? You know, if you're putting out a family picture, and don't tell me it's because they're trying to protect his identity.
No, because he's on every Christmas card they send.
Because he's on every Christmas card. He's in every picture they want to put him
out. He did a podcast over Christmas saying Happy New Year.
Yeah, why is he not, in fact, on that picture? He's part of the family. They said that there's going to be a, he's going to get a little brother or sister. Why can we not have a picture of Archie?
Mm. All those people on Twitter going, oh, they're pregnant. No, they're not. She's pregnant. Yeah. He's not pregnant.
Mm. Right. But also, let's move on a bit to this Oprah Winfrey situation, which I'm told by Kevin possibly may have already been recorded.
It is recorded.
Right?
It's already recorded.
Now,
it's going
I can only assume that inside of that there will be... She's spending a lot of time with Oprah on her own, and then Harry's been allowed to come in near the end, apparently, to give his tuppence halfpenny worth, right? But there's going to be plenty, I would imagine, of allegations made about how terrible it all was and how just about surviving in the royal family because nobody was paying any attention to me was, you know, the end of Meghan's, you know, existence, and she just couldn't handle it. I mean, she is going to be throwing the royal family effectively under the bus.
She's going to, because it's going to be an all-encompassing, very intimate chat with one of her very, very close female friends, obviously, one that's going to be beamed around the world. And it's just you just can't begin to imagine what the Queen, who really hasn't really put that much before wrong, is thinking of this. There's no way back.
Well,
from
it's
this,
just
is
more
there?
Torment for her. I can't see how there is. They've got to just strip him of every single royal accoutrement
but the reason,
that
see,
he has.
The thing is, the royal family, the Queen and her firm, they basically do anything that they perceive as popular with the people because they are in a constant battle to survive. And the way they do it, and they do it very, very skillfully, is by cooking up popularity among the people. So what the people want, the royals give them. Mm. That's how they survive. Mm. That's how they prosper. Now, what I think the royal family must be beginning to understand now is that a growing number, millions of people in this country now want that awful couple to be stripped of their HRH titles.
I can't understand how they've still got it. Well, how can they be referred to as the Duke and Duchess of Sussex?
Well, if the Queen realises this, and I think she's having trouble getting on board with this, she just doesn't want to sort of do anything that's perceived as nasty. But once she does get on board the fact that the population want this couple stripped of their HRHs, she will do it because it will be popular.
Popular with everybody.
So go right ahead, Your Majesty. Yeah. That's what we want.
Well, it's going to be fascinating. And I think without wishing to give the game away, that might well end up being the number one pick. Unless, of course, we conspire against you and make sure that they don't become
the number one
pick.
We're going to have to go somewhere.
In order to go somewhere.
Well, why don't you see what you've got for us, Kevin? What have you got for number one?
Well, my first one is to do with Meghan, but it's much more important than Meghan. And that is Mr. Justice Warby, who is the judge in the High Court last week, who summarily decided that the wheels of justice did not have to reveal why Meghan was correct in her case against the Mail on Sunday that they invaded her privacy when they published a letter from her to her dad. He said, that doesn't need to go to court. I'm making a summary judgment. This was manifestly excessive by the Mail on Sunday. No, it wasn't. This is the first time a judge in those circumstances has made a summary judgment against a party in a civil case for 20 years.
Yes.
It is something that should be extracted from the legal system. A judge must not have the right to do that. This is about the justice system hearing the case of Meghan Markle, quite rightly, and the case of the Mail on Sunday. He decided that the Mail on Sunday had no chance of winning, and therefore we didn't have to hear their case. They had a very good case. Part of their case was public interest.
Yeah.
You, me, Dawn, the public of this country, we partially paid for that big wedding they had in 2000.
We did. We paid the bulk of it.
Millions and millions of pounds towards it. The taxpayers paid for it. It is a matter of public interest.
We also paid for the renovations to Frogmore Cottage, where they lived for quite a substantial period of time.
Yeah, it is a matter of public interest why the father of the bride was not at that austere occasion.
Yeah.
So the Mail on Sunday had a public interest defence. They also quite rightly quite clearly said she claims she didn't cooperate with that hagiography finding freedom.
Yeah, of course she did.
There's a slight problem with that. In the preface, she said she did.
Right.
So she had to change her story then. Then she said she knew nothing of her five friends invading her privacy to People magazine, and she had to row back on that.
But then she also asked the court to not reveal who they were and not call them before the court.
So she behaved badly throughout that case, and yet this judge, Mr. Justice Warby, suddenly awards her the case. We've got to hear the case.
Yeah, absolutely. And there were witnesses that wanted to come forward, weren't they? Because not only did we pay for the
one of them being her father.
Exactly. Well, yeah. But also courtiers that we pay for. She actually used staff to write this supposedly very private letter that her friends were allowed to talk to People magazine about, but her father couldn't talk about a letter that he received. And this private letter of a distraught young woman to her dad was co-written, allegedly, by courtiers at Buckingham Palace.
Absolutely right.
Yeah, and the courtiers apparently were looking forward to being called.
They wanted to be called.
They wanted to explain wanted to their role in
Well, from what I remember of their time in Britain, they seem to have quite a high turnover of staff, didn't they? Because what we know about Meghan Markle is that she doesn't stay with people for very long. So Harry might want to watch himself in that regard. But can we not use the word summary judgment? Because what I would say is it's not a summary judgment. It's not, in fact, a judgment at all. It's actually a complete and utter miscarriage of justice. Because you cannot tell me that any judge or any person can make his mind up without hearing the evidence.
It's a disgrace. It's an absolute
disgrace. It's ridiculous.
It is a technical term. You know.
Oh, no, I know that,
But I agree with you, Mike. And the implications are terrifying.
Let's call it what it is.
The implications are terrifying because what in effect it means, it sets a precedent that any document that was written by anyone that wasn't intended for publication in the public arena is now has an expectation of privacy, and newspapers can't publish them.
Yeah, ridiculous.
So
totally
that I really hope with all my heart that the Mail on Sunday lodge an appeal, and I hope they win because they deserve to win.
Absolutely right. Well, my first nomination is an old favourite. He made it onto the top 10 list of planks of the year last year, and it is, of course, your favourite barrister and mine, Jolyon Morom, as we know him. His real name, of course, Jolyon Morom. Now, famously, of course, back in 2019 on Boxing Day, he took a baseball bat to a fox that was trapped in some chicken wire in his back garden while he was dressed in his wife's kimono, presumably under the influence of something or other. I don't know what, but ridiculously, as well as beating it to death, he then tweeted about how he'd just beaten it to death. He now reveals, right, because he's involved, of course, in yet another lawsuit against the government. And what he doesn't think he's doing, and what he doesn't realise that he's doing, is every time that he challenges the government, it costs us a load of money. You know, we, the taxpayer, having to foot the bill for a team of lawyers.
He never wins.
He never wins. But the government will have to foot the bill for the team of lawyers that they've had to hire to defend themselves against this bozo who runs something called the Good Law Project, which is also a bad name. It should be called the Bad Law Project. Or the Losing Law Project.
The Lord Project.
Yeah. And he basically came out and said that the damage he caused not only to the fox, but to himself was a lot worse than anybody knew, because he claimed that the incident sparked a standoff with top law firm Allen and Overy. Right now, I hadn't heard of this law firm, but you know what the law business is like. It's full of, you know, these law firms that do very, very well. Thank you very much indeed. Allen and Overy are apparently the team of lawyers representing the government in this case, right? But he says that when he did announce that he'd beaten this fox to death, basically Allen and Overy's head of litigation told his chambers, which is where lawyers work, that they wouldn't not only give him any business, but they also wouldn't give his chambers any business whatsoever. So he almost ripped a complete and utter hole in his own business and his own job.
Very self-destructive thing.
He's now left that particular law firm, right? Yeah. And he does these ridiculously long threads of tweets, which must take him all day, right?
Well, he hasn't got much else to do by the time.
Well, I mean, here's what he did. Now, tell me this is not the act of a complete and utter maniac. Mr. Morm left Devereux Chambers at the end of last year, unconventionally marking the departure by blocking the head of Chambers, Timothy Brennan, QC, on Twitter. I mean, these are people who think that their life actually goes on, not in the real world, but on social media, on Twitter. Jolyon Morom obviously thinks that he is no end of a brilliant lawyer, but it's only in his mind, because whenever he takes a case on, he loses it.
But it's good news when he's on Twitter for the animal kingdom, because when he's on Twitter, he can't be killing poor innocent creatures.
It'll come as no surprise to you that he blocked me many years ago.
Oh, he's blocked me as well.
And he occasionally unblocks me, and he hasn't done it for a while, but he used to unblock me to accuse me of libelling him. To which right. I would always say, exactly how have I libelled you, Jolyon? And then he would come up with some rubbish. And I'd go, well, that's not actually libel. You're the lawyer. Surely you should know that.
Yeah, I mean, you really you know. Wouldn't be hiring him, would you?
I mean, he'd be the, if there was only one lawyer left in the world and it was him, I would not be hiring him.
No,
and
no.
I've hired a lot of lawyers in my time, as you can imagine.
I can't think why.
Dawn, let's have your second one.
My second one is, again, it's a bit of a perennial favourite, unfortunately. It's our, it's the Labour Party.
Oh, good.
And this in particular
that
is...
Chestnut.
I know. And this, but this is particularly a different member of it. This is Alex Sobel, who is a Shadow Culture, Media and Sport Minister.
Yeah, I've never heard of him.
Me neither.
There's a lot of these Labour MPs who are
I've
in the shadow cabinet.
Yeah.
You don't know who they are.
What?
Alex Sobel, S-O-B-E-L.
Sobel.
No, me neither. No. Any case, he wants the government to tell public bodies and private companies to start using the prefix MIGS.
Hey?
MX. I don't know how you pronounce
MX.
It. MX. Rather than Mr. or Mrs. or Miss or Ms. or even
no.
Master.
So Ms. is no good now.
No, no, no. You can't have any of those things because you're gendering people.
I see.
Whereas MIGS is
that
not.
For
that
all
is,
genders then?
Yes.
Does that cover all 100 covers, genders yeah, as I per mean, the BBC's
yeah,
instructions?
Yeah. Labour HQ have already embraced this MIGS, a form used for job applicants since last year.
Migs.
So what, when you get a letter from the Labour Party, yeah. it says, dear...
Migs.
Because I'll tell you something, I might have to check that, because you know what's weird is I keep... It comes into my junk emails, to be fair, but I once, because of the fact that they banned Julie Hartley Brewer from Labour Party conference, I was once accredited to go and do it. Until we decided, actually, it's not worth it.
It's not worth
don't
it, really.
Bother. So we didn't bother going. But since I've got accredited, they obviously seem to think I'm a member of the Labour Party. So I get all these internal emails from them.
Red tie, though, Mike.
And there's a red tie today, yes, but that doesn't mean in any way, shape or form that I'm endorsing any political organisation. Please
so
don't...
Also, the Labour Party has also decided secretly that should they get into power, Britain will pay massive reparations for British imperialism, to apologise for British for the British Empire. This is from the party leader, Sir Keir Starmer, only last week said, let's get patriotic, let's dress
let's
in
all
flag,
pose in as many union flags as we can possibly
so that's
muster.
That's what Labour want to do, apart from calling us mugs.
Mugs.
They want to pay loads and loads of money to apologise for the British Empire.
But Kevin, you
that's
do
the
have
kind
a,
of government you'd be voting
Kevin,
for.
You do have a choice. I don't have to call you mugs. I can also call you Ind or Misc.
Misc.
Individual or miscellaneous.
Fancy that is ridiculous, isn't
miscellaneous?
It?
I mean, these people have got to get a life, haven't they? They've got to get a life.
Any case, I think that's fairly planky.
I think that is very planky. I'm just trying to think. There must be some other Labour Party things we can throw in on top of all of that for all the mad stuff they've been doing. Because Keir Starmer, of
he's
course...
He's in big trouble, isn't he? They finally realise he's useless.
I think this happened since the last plank of the week that we did. Did he not put out that picture of himself from Heathrow Airport? Or was that the week before? No, I think it was since we did the last plank of the week, where he took a picture of himself in a meeting room with a load
that's
of members.
Right, yeah,
oh gosh, yeah,
a load
absolutely,
of members of the trade
yeah.
union,
and
right?
there was none of these,
and there was
going
none
on.
Of those, and they weren't wearing masks,
no.
and so people started going, "Hang on a minute, that doesn't look very secure."
Well, this
COVID-wise.
Is why he's constantly
but
having
then,
to go and isolate.
Yeah, but instead of just ignoring that, he then deletes the picture, puts out another picture of himself outside the meeting wearing a mask. Yeah. As if everybody on Twitter hasn't already screen grabbed it and he's going to keep putting it out there.
Yeah, see, the
you do worry about these people.
What Starmer's got going for him, and
well,
my dog could be better than Jeremy Corbyn as a Labour leader, is he's slightly better than Corbyn, but that isn't saying anything. And they have realised that after these couple of months where they all went, oh, he's so forensic, that Mr. Forensic, or Mugs Forensic, is actually
like
not, very, he's not very good at his job. He's useless.
He really isn't. Let's have your number two, Kevin.
My number two is Imperial College. I've decided to close Imperial College. And once we
do
that, that will be the end of the coronavirus crisis because those are the scientists who are keeping this thing going. Every time there is good news, and we are in the middle of a lot of good news at the moment, deaths and cases are down by a third since this time last week. Up crops someone from Imperial College to say, oh, no, no, no. And today's star was on the telly last night on News at 10, Professor Azra Ghani.
This is a new one, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've never heard her before. No. Yeah,
but this seems to be haunts of these people.
She had a hell of a model on there. Oh. You
know, she did, didn't she?
Like the couple of peaks.
Right.
Anyway, she said that Boris saying, well, with a bit of luck by the summer, by July, we could be back to some sort of normality. She, of course, Professor Ghani, said, no, can't even think about it till September. Otherwise, tens of thousands of people will die.
I wonder if anyone's actually asked the question how much all of this is costing. Mm. All of these sage scientists, right? I know some of them are on the payroll of Imperial College, but some of them will also be on the government's payroll. And then this nerve tag operation, which seemed to start up out of nowhere, where we discovered that Neil Ferguson, who was meant to have resigned,
Imperial College,
is now still working for the government and in this thing called nerve tag.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a joke, isn't it?
It's so Imperial College seems to be a kind of hatching factory for these sage lunatics, you know, who just think that we have to save every single life and everything else doesn't matter.
Can you imagine sitting in the Imperial College canteen with these
bozos? I just want a vaccination against them, please.
Yes, please.
Yeah.
You know, don't drink that. It's hot.
If we got rid of it,
be careful over there. Yeah. Can you imagine walking around Imperial College? Stop moving.
Don't sit on that chair.
It might collapse. God's sake.
Yeah, so if we got rid of Imperial College, that'd be the end of the coronavirus crisis.
Well, do you know what? There has been, I think, talk of getting rid of the name Imperial College because, of course, it sounds imperial, which sounds a bit like the Empire.
Oh,
we can't be having any of that.
No, absolutely.
But, you know, funnily enough, they're hanging on to it for grim death because they think that that kind of marks them out as these amazing people because they work for this place.
About University of Nutcases.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well,
yeah.
They're just zealots. They're crazy.
Well, they're just addicted to doom, aren't they? Ferguson.
Well, they're addicted to being. They finally, from their obscure little lives, find themselves in the limelight.
Yeah,
and they're hanging on to it for all their worth.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to take a trip across the Atlantic for my second one, and it's Minneapolis Council. Now, Minneapolis, of course, was the hotbed of the first episode of Black Lives Matter because it was where George Floyd was shot. Killed by the police. Minneapolis Council, in June of 2020, as a result of all of the opposition and all of the demonstrations, decided to go with the public endeavours to defund the police, right? And they decided that they would establish a holistic public safety force.
Right, okay.
Because, of course, that's what you want to do. Look, there's a bloke outside the house with a shotgun. What do you want to do? I want to call the holistic public safety officers to come and help me with this particular problem. Well, guess what? They've now announced, the Minneapolis Council, that in the wake of having done that, unfortunately, residents have started to experience longer response times and an increase in violent crime because there's hardly any police around. So they're now going to spend $6.4 million to hire some more police.
Refund the police.
So basically they're now going defund the police to refund the police and reinstate a load of the police who have been given the sack, effectively. Because it didn't work.
So they landed on planet woke crazy.
Yeah.
And suddenly reality
and
came
suddenly
knocking at the door.
Right.
The real world.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is what I said.
We do need police officers.
This is what I said to that guy, Gary McFarlane, who was from Black Lives Matter, when I interviewed him back last year, when I said, what would you do when you defunded the police then? And he said, well, we just police ourselves. Well, that's the result.
That works well.
That's how it goes, I'm afraid.
Yeah,
because there are criminals in this world, and they're not going to stop being criminals just because there's no police.
No.
They're not criminals because there's police.
No.
They're criminals because they're criminals.
They're criminals, yes.
That's
the
way.
They're not going to listen to reason.
So, Minneapolis Council, very plankish, you're on the list.
Okay.
Dawn, you're number three.
Well, there is a bit of a link here.
Is there?
See? Yep, seamless, this one.
Go on.
I'm actually coming back across the pond. I'm nominating Hammersmith and Fulham Council in
very
London.
Good. In today.
The councils is like, exactly. Well, this is a fairly impoverished council in the city council. Show me one that isn't these days. And they are obviously sitting around.
When you say impoverished, you mean they've only got about £5
They've
billion.
Only got several billion pounds floating around that doesn't actually get out to their residents. Any case, in the same weekend that there were two deaths from stabbings and 14 injuries in London, kids killing kids, Hammersmith and Fulham Council sat around their chambers and noticed that their coat of arms had a ship on it.
Oh, yeah.
It's only been there for a few years.
Well, they are by the river.
Exactly, exactly, indeed. And someone thought that this might be a slave ship.
Why?
Because evidently
was it one of those clipper ships?
It's got
a T ship, couldn't it?
It's For years, they've had this ship on their coat of arms, and it has always been viewed as a Viking ship. But suddenly...
Isn't there a bit of a difference between a Viking ship and another kind of ship?
It's just a drawing of a ship. I mean, I couldn't tell. I mean, it's got a horseshoe on it. What does that even mean?
I know. No,
neither. And it's got hammers on it. It looks like the West Ham thing as well. In any case, they decided that ship. Now they're going to spend taxpayers' money to investigate whether this is indeed a racist ship and whether they should redesign their entire coat of arms.
For God's sake.
Meanwhile, people that live in Hammersmith and Fulham are struggling with services that aren't grey. And
I bet the traffic wardens are still working.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, but the
you've got no money.
I know. But the really annoying thing was this: if this is proven to be a slave ship, then it's all going to have to change.
Right. How are they going to set about proving that, by the way?
Well, a good question.
Get a slave ship expert
exactly.
in.
Exactly. But
ask Sadiq Khan, he'll be able to tell us.
Yeah, well.
Definitely slave ship.
Definitely slave ship. Everything's a slave ship, according to him.
Cancel that, slaves.
But if it's a Viking ship, and we've got to remember, the Vikings weren't exactly cuddly, were they?
Well, they weren't really. There's a bit of
rape and murder and pillage going on.
Right.
I don't
think they had slaves, though, so they're not all bad.
Does anyone else ever pillage, except for Vikings?
I think it's only Vikings.
Vikings are the only people who pillage.
They did have slaves, didn't they? Because they came over here.
Did they?
Took all the women.
Did they?
Back to Scandinavia.
Yeah, but that was for slavery. That was for something else, presumably, wasn't
That's
it?
Slavery, Mark.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, you see, this is where I'm getting it wrong.
They're good-looking people in Scandinavia. I reckon all the women here fancied them.
They
went back to Scandinavia,
blonde,
you know, to marry Mr. Viking.
Exactly. Okay, well, loads of them stayed here as well, though. I mean, because we're all sort of descended from Vikings, aren't we? Yeah, one way, shape.
Yeah, you are, Dawn, obviously.
You look a bit genuinely.
You got the hair and everything.
That's natural blonde, I'll have you know.
It's the funniest thing I've heard all day. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, any case. So,
Vikings dyed their hair as well.
Of course they did.
So thank you, gentlemen. So, any case, Hammersmith and Fulham Council are my
ridiculous. Well done. Very good.
I've got
very
a picture of the boat.
I'm looking at it. It looks like it's being rowed. It's a rowing boat, isn't it?
That's a boat similar to. This is the actual boat here.
It looks like a Roman galleon, though. It doesn't look like a Viking ship to me.
It doesn't, does it?
No.
I mean, a Viking ship was like a long Norse boat, wasn't it? It didn't have places for oars, so they've got that bit wrong.
Did they have oars?
I don't think the Vikings did. I think they just sailed.
Yeah, they did. I don't know.
Who knows? Anyway,
we'll
find out.
We will find out.
And as long as they get somebody who knows what sort of boat it was.
I just thought, you know.
I wonder what they'll replace it with.
With the soaring rates of knife crime going on in London, they might have something better to do.
Yeah, that would be good. Kevin, your final nominee?
Mine is the zealous Conservative MP Neil O'Brien, the MP for Harborough.
Nob, for sure.
Who has set himself up as the witchfinder general of anyone who may be slightly sceptical about the effects of lockdowns. He has, of course, like all of these people, conflated COVID denial with lockdown scepticism.
Yes.
It's interesting the way these people... I'm sceptical about lockdowns. I'm not sure that they don't do more harm than good.
Yeah.
When the cure is worse than the disease, you have to think about the cure. Maybe you're not pursuing the right...
Also, it's very easy when you're on
lockdown denier.
No, but when you're on an MP, salary, where you don't even have to travel to work if you don't fancy it, and you can work from home, and you've got a staff which is paid for by us, who can do as much research as you ask them to do, depending on how much time they've got on their hands, and then you can claim some very, very hefty expenses into the bargain.
But the point about this guy Neil O'Brien, he's perfectly entitled to his opinion. He's massively keen on lockdowns. He probably wants them to go on forever.
Probably.
When they're over, he wants to get back to what he sees.
He's also married to a doctor.
Yeah, I know. Well, of course, that makes him very, very special.
Of course.
in his own mind.
A hero. He's married to a hero.
He studied medicine for a while at Oxford, but then changed his mind.
Yeah, but he makes out like he studied medicine, therefore he's got some knowledge. Here's what actually happened.
Yeah.
He went to do a medical degree and then couldn't hack it, right? Because it was too hard for him.
Changed to PPE.
So now he's a politician, making out that he's an expert in medicine.
Yeah.
Well, he's not.
Yeah, but it's what I'm talking about.
You know, I studied French at school. It doesn't make me fluent.
But he's entitled to his opinion. But when he goes onto Twitter, he's become like this armed warrior on Twitter.
He's gone a bit quiet lately,
He says,
actually.
Like, he go, yeah, Yeah, he says he goes. In my view, probably because some party elders have had a quiet word in his 42-year-old youthful ear and said, you've got to be a little bit more temperate about this. Because he's not just going on to Twitter to say, look, you got that wrong. Actually, here's the figures you might be in.
Yeah.
It's you using all foul terms.
You know, costing people's lives and all this rubbish.
You're a granny killer. It's very, very intemperate, very, very
pejorative,
immature and intolerant of other people. Now, I don't think COVID deniers are right. I think they're on the very wrong track. COVID exists. It's crazy, in my view, to deny COVID.
No, of course it is.
But this is a free country. If you want to deny COVID, that's up to you. And you should not be able to do
But all the people he's attacking are not those who deny COVID. He's attacking people in the media. He's attacking academics who are perfectly well qualified to speak about the disease. They're not COVID deniers, exactly, no matter what he says.
No, but he likes to conflate that.
No, I know. But what I'm saying is that, you know, he's not actually having a go at those people who are actual COVID deniers. Yeah. He's having to go at people in mainstream media and in the mainstream of academia who he's trying to silence.
So this is the reason I decided to, because he's been doing this for some weeks.
He's been in Plank of the Week before.
As you said, quite rightly said, Mike, he's gone a bit quiet, I suspect, because somebody's had a word with
him. Yes, I think so.
You're an MP, behave like one.
Exactly. He's also under a bit more scrutiny now, because some of us have been asking what he does with his expenses and exactly how much of this public money that he gets is he using to fund his research team? Because you're not meant to do that.
But the reason that I thought he was worth dredging up to be Plank again is because he accused what the Sunday Times really irritatingly described as maverick scientists of using their qualifications. And when I say maverick scientists, the 40,000 scientists who signed the Great Barrington Declaration. He accused them of using their qualifications and the COVID situation to write articles in prominent newspapers and make money. He basically said that these so-called, quote, maverick scientists are just doing it to get their name in the press, to get their name out.
Unlike
there.
Him.
So, wait a second. You're saying there are 40,000 scientists doing that? No, they're not.
No,
they're not. As you quite rightly said, Mike, and you, Mr. O'Brien, listen to this. These are just people that don't agree with you. And you are in a democratic system. You are a democratic member of parliament that discusses and debates issues and facts. And you've got to stop acting like you're in the total right, and everything you think is right and everything everybody else thinks is utterly wrong, and you have the right to insult them.
Well,
it's got to stop.
And also, one of the things that he likes to jump all over is anyone who likens COVID to flu. Now, you might have noticed that Matt Hancock gave an interview at the weekend in which he said, we need to start thinking about treating this disease as more like flu. That's going to come back from time to time. We're going to have a vaccine against it.
Well, it is a coronavirus.
Which is the most sensible thing that Matt Hancock has said. By the way, Neil O'Brien is known as Matt Hancock's house elf in the business, because he's basically crawls to the to the health secretary so much that that's what he's thought of as Matt Hancock's creature. But I didn't see him tweeting far enough about Matt Hancock being a COVID denier. So there's a bit of a double stand going on.
Well, I suspect that Mr. O'Brien, labouring as he was in his well-deserved obscurity, decided to put his head above the parapet and get noticed in Westminster and the world to further his career. I think he's done exactly the opposite. People in the future thinking of appointing cabinet ministers will go, don't appoint that little guy. He's hysterical.
He is hysterical, and also got quite a few enemies now in places that he might not want to have them.
He's 42. He doesn't know about the world.
No, exactly right. Talking of people who don't know about the world, how about Nancy Pelosi? She's my third nomination because...
she's 84. She knows about
she's
the
double,
world.
She's double 42. just at a quick guess. Here's the thing about Nancy Pelosi. She's the sort of the Speaker of the House of Representatives, the woman who single-handedly has become obsessed with Donald Trump. Not good enough for the Democrats to win the presidential election and put Joe Biden in the White House. She wanted to finish Donald Trump off. Now, they tried it once before when he got impeached in the House of Representatives. And then they had the ridiculous spectacle of a Senate trial. in which also, I mean, if you had sort of landed on Earth from Mars and started watching it, you would have thought this guy had committed the most egregious terrible offences. And then that one didn't work because the Republican senators basically weren't going to wear it. So instead of just letting him go gracefully and be content with the fact that he's been banned from all social media, doesn't really get a chance to communicate with his followers in any meaningful way unless he does an interview that he puts out himself, instead of letting him, you know, sort of retire gracefully to Florida with Melania, they decided to hound him. They wanted him to have his Secret Service details stripped from him. They wanted to have the ability for him to ever run again for any office taken away, any sort of presidential kind of pension they wanted stripped away from him. I mean, I don't understand why she's so vitriolic. And in addition to which, she, of course, lost because this weekend Donald Trump was cleared the second time.
As everyone knew.
Yeah, as we predicted. I think you and I, Kevin, totally have predicted it. You probably have as well, Dawn.
Yeah,
anyone with half a brain could see that it was a bad idea. And, of course, we saw yesterday, it was President's Day, as a public holiday in America, the biggest rally for Trump since before the election in Florida. Loads of people with American flags driving around in pickup trucks, absolutely celebrating the fact that their guy is now stronger than ever.
She's
looking like a complete idiot.
Well, she's so blinded by her infantile hatred.
It's a bloodlust, isn't it?
That she thinks everyone else must think the same as her. What she's neglecting to take on board is this guy got 75 million votes in the last presidential election, which is a record. Mm. He is a very, very popular man. There was a chance he was going to disappear after his humiliation in the election.
Mm.
Guess what? Thanks to Nancy's impeachment obsession, he is now resurgent. She has reawakened the Trump lion, and Trump fancies his chances. I reckon he's going to stand. And it's her fault.
Yeah.
Isn't this the same Nancy Pelosi, whose husband mysteriously invested loads of money in the same electric car companies just before Joe Biden announced that they were going to supply the fleet for
That's
the American.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
And she's also the same woman who owns a fridge, which is worth, apparently, I kid you not, $26,000.
For a fridge?
For a fridge.
What is it made of?
I presume it's made of solid
gold.
What's
she put in there? Her hair lacquer.
Yeah, it's made of her dead hair. I mean, also, she also sneaked off. And I mean, I don't really care that people do this, but they're just hypocrites, right? She sneaked off.
Oh, yeah, she went
of
illegal
the first
haircut.
Pandemic,
yeah.
Went for an illegal haircut.
Well, hypocrisy, there is a theme on Plank, isn't it?
But it's politically illiterate what she's been doing to Trump.
It really
is. Should have just let him go.
Right. I mean,
she's obsessed.
I mean now the first sort of month or so of Joe Biden's presidency has now been dominated by people talking about Donald Trump. Whereas if they hadn't done that, they could have concentrated on what Biden's doing, which is quite good. Maybe that's why, because of course what he's doing is nothing at all.
Well, he's gone all quiet.
Yeah.
Because Nancy's trampled all over him. Because to be fair to Biden, he said, "Don't impeach this guy. Don't impeach."
He did say that, to be fair, absolutely.
But was overridden by Nancy. And definitely, no doubt about it, down at Mar-a-Lago, old Trump, for the first time in his life, I think he'd had his confidence shattered. Suddenly...
Well, he doesn't like to lose. There's no question about that.
Yeah, but he didn't... He won the impeachment trial, and now his confidence is back. So well done, Nancy. You've now got yourself the worst enemy in the world.
Yes. Well, as Sebastian Gorka told me the other day, it's like that scene in Star Wars, you know, where Darth Vader says, "If you strike me down now, I'll come back stronger than ever."
Yeah.
Or is it Obi-Wan Kenobi that says that? I always get the
guys. I don't know.
By the way, it works. You know,
it does.
You know, this guy's resurgent now.
Yeah.
It's all down to his worst enemy, his sworn enemy, who wanted to destroy him, but has achieved exactly the opposite.
Yes. Mm. Now, as ever, we have reached the point where we've got 9 nominees. There will be one carried over from last week. I think that might be. With your agreement. I don't know why I'm asking for your agreement, because I might do it anyway. Probably Nicola Sturgeon, because she's still right up there.
She is,
you know, there's meant to have been some kind of SNP inquiry this week, which seems to have been buried.
What's
again?
What's happening with that?
Well, first of all, last week, Salmond said... Well, Alex Salmond said he wouldn't appear because he wasn't allowed to talk about certain things which he's been banned from talking about, right? Nicola Sturgeon was then due to appear this week. Then she said, "I'm not appearing before Alex Salmond." Then The Spectator took a lawsuit against the Scottish government
to allow his evidence to be heard,
which is now the case. But now they've cancelled the whole hearing. Meanwhile, we're waiting for her to try and make more brownie points.
I know.
I think it might end up going that way. But now, of course, this week, she's expected to try and get one step ahead of Boris again by announcing that they're going to open the schools.
I know.
She doesn't have to resign. That would be a really bad thing.
That would be unfortunate, you know. That really would.
Lives.
I wonder what she'd end up doing then.
Oh, dear, no.
Well, so, anyway... Dawn, whose three would you like to choose? And because I mean, I don't think there's any point in us even choosing yours, is there? Because it's going to be.
I think
it's got to be Harry and Meghan.
Let's go through the motions, though.
Let's go through the motions.
So I.
So your three.
I choose one of Kev, shall I?
Yeah. Okay,
yeah, you choose one of Kev.
Mine were Mr. Justice Warby for his bizarre summary judgment allowing Meghan to beat the Mail on Sunday. Secondly, Imperial College for producing yet another grim scientist who'll tell us we'll all die if we don't lock down for the rest of our lives. And so Imperial College is plank of the week for churning out more and more of these Dr. Grimms without enough of them. And thirdly, Neil O'Brien, the MP, the Tory MP for Harborough, who has set himself up as the witchfinder general, burn the heretics at the stake, anti-cut lockdown sceptic, fanatic.
Okay, I'm going to go, because great minds think alike, I was going to nominate Imperial College as well, so I'm going to go with Imperial College.
Okay.
I think Imperial College is good. Mm-hmm. Right, Kevin, I guess you need to pick one of mine then, don't you?
Which one? Remind me.
Mine are Jolyon Moron, Minneapolis Council, and Nancy Pelosi.
Well, do you know what I'm going to do? I mean, I'm very tempted by Nancy. It's a subject that really interests me.
Said nobody ever.
Well, yeah, okay. Well, let me rephrase that. Conceptually, in terms of plank of the week, I'm very tempted by Nancy Pelosi. But for the hometown favourite, I'm going to go for Jolyon Moore.
Jolyon Moore, it's got to be done. Yeah, I like keeping him high up on the list.
You're doing pretty good, actually.
So you're three. So we obviously know about Harry and Meghan. What are the other two, just in case?
I don't want to mention their names because I don't like being talked about.
Go on.
The others were the Labour Party and Alex Sobel, no idea, for insisting that everyone is called Migs.
That is good, isn't it? That is good.
And the last one was the Hammersmith and Fulham Council for their slave stroke Viking ship. They're not quite sure, so they're going to sit around and talk about it.
Viking ship.
I thought all mine were quite good, actually.
So am I choosing?
No, I am.
Okay.
So I think I am.
Yeah, you are.
I'm going to choose Meghan and Harry. Yeah, I'm sorry to disappoint anyone who thought that we might have a surprise at the end.
I know, it was a bit of a shoo-in.
But, you know,
so now we've got the final three, Meghan and Harry, Imperial College, Jolyon Moron. It's only one winner, really, isn't there?
Yep.
Meghan and Harry.
Yeah, it has to be. Yeah.
Should we put Jolyon in second?
Yeah.
Go on, you want to, don't
I do
you?
Want
I mean, Kevin
to.
And I are not going to argue and win,
I
are
do.
We? So
I do.
As well.
An Imperial third,
An Imperial yeah. College is always good.
Oh, yeah, hateful.
So there we are, Meghan and Harry, not for the first time.
Or the last.
Or the last time.
But particularly deserving this
particularly
week.
Particularly good this week for not one entry, but actually two. Because not only was the pregnancy picture horrendously gushy and cheesy, but then the announcement that you did an interview with Oprah Winfrey. Absolutely shocking, extraordinary stuff. Planks of the week, Meghan and Harry. Thanks to Dawn, thanks to Kevin. We'll see you next week.